This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to the Evening Edition. I'm Lee Chui Lin. It is 6:39, so we are going to be resuming our conversation on the loan moratorium extension announced earlier today, now shifting our focus to SMEs. Because, of course, while small traders, self-employed individuals and people who have lost their jobs this year will benefit, the extension is also going to be crucial for SMEs. Primarily, it will help SMEs address their loan commitments, as it has been a huge concern. According to the Federation of Malaysian Manufacturers, 70% of SMEs will only be able to service their installments for 2 more months without the extension. So now, I think it's a question also of how long they'll need and whether an extension alone is enough. Because many SMEs need more time for business to pick up. They've struggled adjusting to the new normal. And I think costs also, generally speaking, have gone up. They are also bearing the costs, for example, of sanitization if they are in a public-facing business. And they've also got a whole host of things to deal with aside from that, operation costs, staff wages and rent. And according to Tourism Langkawi Chairman Ahmad Pishol Isahak, more long-term measures are needed, such as incentives and aid for operational costs that are specific to COVID-19 SOPs. So we wanted to speak to somebody who would have inside knowledge of this, in the sense that they are, you know, part of an SME and would be able to talk about the impact that the loan moratoriums have had. And as a bonus, they are in fact an SME that works in the business of loans. So after this, we're going to be speaking with Jared Lim, who is the co-founder of Loan Street. If you have any questions or thoughts on the loan moratorium extension in general, but particularly also from an SME perspective and how it might help, you can let us know by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Business, finance and music. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:43 and you're listening to the Evening Edition. I'm Lee Chui Lin. We've been talking about the extension on the loan moratorium today. It was announced earlier that it is going to be extended, but on a targeted basis for 3 specific groups of people. And a big part of the speech that was made earlier today by Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin actually focused on the self-employed as well as SMEs and how this can help people get back on their feet. So we spoke earlier on a more personal basis, and now we wanted to focus on SMEs and how this might help or assist. If you have any thoughts or questions, particularly pertaining to SMEs, but on the loan moratorium as a whole, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us on the line is Jared Lim, who's the co-founder of Loan Street, an SME that brings information together for various financial products, including housing loans, personal loans, as well as car and motorcycle insurances. Jared, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So how has Loan Street been affected during the various versions of the MCO, and more specifically during the loan moratorium period?
So as you know, Loan Street is a website where people come to research and apply for various financial products. So before the MCO, right, we used to receive maybe hundreds or even thousands of mortgage and car loan inquiries. But during the MCO of about 3 months, we actually had volume come to almost zero for those products. So because nobody was buying a house, nobody was buying a car. Whereas for personal loans, it itself saw a dip of about 50%. And it also didn't help that banks, they couldn't process any loans during that period. So thankfully for us, though, because where the loan volumes fell off, our online insurance renewals, they picked up quite a bit, and it sort of covered for it.
And how did the loan moratorium help you guys specifically?
So for the loan moratorium, along with the SME stimulus package, of course, it helped to reduce our total debt burden and to shoulder some of our cost commitments. So, I mean, I believe I'm not alone in saying that we are one of the SMEs that benefited from it. And the economy as a whole, it didn't go into a meltdown that everybody feared, right? So it bought us a lot of time to find a way forward as a company and, of course, as a country. So, so, you know, as Loan Street, we do receive quite a bit of inquiries from people, from the public, on how to handle their own, whether they should opt in or opt out. So, yeah, I think it has helped individuals, SMEs like us, and definitely as Loan Street.
Mm. So, can we talk about how your clients have been affected and what have been the kinds of messages or conversations that you've been having with them? Jared, are you still there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sort of. Okay, let's give it a go. I think you're coming through.
Yes. Hi. Sorry about the... So, in Loan Street, we have three kinds of clients that we work with. Firstly, of course, it's the bank. So, while the MCO was ongoing, most banks, they actually had a temporary stop to processing any new loan application. So, since the MCO has been lifted, they have started taking in applications again, but the criteria are a lot more stringent. So, on our side, when we speak to banks, we just make sure we get the most updated criteria. With insurance, on the other hand, we are quite the darlings, I could say, especially during the MCO period, because as the first to introduce online motorcycle insurance renewal, Loan Street, during the MCO, we had a lot of inquiries and a lot of actually renewals being done online. So I think that's one of the bright spots for us. And with insurance, the conversation still continues. I think during the MCO, the shift to digital was quite stark. So more insurers are now talking to us and having this conversation on how they can get online as well. Whereas for advertisers, I think as if any media publishing site and asset, we had a number of cancellations on our campaigns. So right now we are re-engaging with these advertisers and saying, hey, look, you know, the pandemic's over, things are slowly resuming to normal. Would you like to come back and maybe resume those campaigns? The good news is we actually grew in traffic throughout the MCO. I think we are now doing about 200 times or 200% of our traffic pre-MCO, and it's just one of the situations we find ourselves in, I guess.
And what do you think is behind that? Is it just the fact that so many people are in the position of looking for information on loans at the moment? Is there something else that's feeding that?
Actually, that's right. It's two things. It's people looking for information on loans and what to do. Should I opt in for the, as I said, you know, what do I handle? What should I expect after the moratorium? So we get a lot of people searching for the kind of information, asking us on Facebook, writing emails to our team. And then on the other hand, we also have people looking to renew their car insurances, their motorcycle insurances, their road tax. And you know, right, during the lockdown, you can't exactly walk into JPJ.
Yeah.
So we actually saw a two-pronged interest spike. And that's where I guess our website has now this sustained increase in interest from users.
So with all that said then, what's your take on the announcement on the extension today?
Overall, I really applaud what the government of Malaysia has done. It's a very measured approach. If you compare it to the previous approach where they had a blanket moratorium and everybody would have to decide to opt out as opposed to opt in, right? And I think the government didn't allow banks to accrue interest. So a lot of people that didn't really need it end up participating in it as well because there's no harm in it. And it, in a sense, unnecessarily burdened the bank. So I think with this targeted approach where it's mainly focused on people who have lost their jobs or people who have had their income significantly affected or cut, I like this approach a lot better. And it's not unfair to the banks. In the same way, it's also quite... the government has listened and the banking industry as well has listened, and they're giving more time to those who are affected to basically either restructure or find a new source of income, or basically to find out ways to deal with it.
Do you think that this extension, whether people get the 3 month or the 6 month, depending on what they qualify for, do you think that it's going to be enough for many?
Oh, that's a good question. I think for those who are in desperate situations, it probably won't be enough. But for those who are not, who are affected, but not necessarily in a very dire strait, I think any addition of time will be really helpful. So, you know, I want to say one thing. If you compare to how the government and the banking industry in Malaysia, how concerted their efforts are in having this loan moratorium, compared to the rest of the world, we actually as a country have a very good and coordinated and controlled, planned out response. And if you look at other countries, many of them don't have this relief facility from the banks. So despite it being whether you can say it's not long enough or it should be longer, or whether you think it's too much, you know, it's unfair to the banks, I think this, regardless of which side you stand on, we have to say that our response has been a welcome relief to many people. And I can say this from first-hand experience. It's good for it's a welcome relief for myself as a SME business operator, as well as for all the customers that we give consulting and advice to. You can hear the relief in their voice, actually.
And right now, I think a lot of people are going to be gearing up for those discussions and applications that are ready to go up by August 7th. I think that that's when the Prime Minister said you can start having those conversations with your banks. Can you take us through the ins and outs of renegotiating the terms of a loan or discussing it even? What advice would you have for people who are planning to do this?
I think the first and foremost, not so much the restructuring or rescheduling, but with the moratorium, make use of it. If you need it, talk to your bank. If you lost your job, if you've taken a pay cut, talk to your bank. But for those who don't have that option and don't qualify for those measures, there are a couple of things that you want to pay attention to or try to do. Firstly, if you have any property or assets which you can offer to the bank to charge it or to refinance it, then do it. Especially if you have property that is unencumbered, because compared to all the other loans and maybe your credit card debt and maybe your overdraft for a business, right? Your mortgage loan is going to be the cheapest financing option that you can get. So if you can, in this period, talk to your bank to refinance the whatever loan, whatever house or property or asset you have to get a refinancing to pay off those debts, now is really the right time to do it. Then if you can liquidate and refinance, that's also, if the banks agree to it, what you want to ask them is also for them to waive all the late penalty fees, all the interest, late interest that has been accrued in return for settling these loans that you're going to now a payoff in one go. Because as a bank, it's a lot more attractive that this guy offers to sell off or charge his property or whatever it is to pay off these loans. So they would be open or they could listen to reason to, okay, as long as it doesn't fall into NPL, I can waive this amount of late payment fees and charges. So this one is appealing to their, in a sense, their generosity or their human side. Which, yeah, you got to try it though. You don't ask, you never know, right? There's no guarantee you get it. Finally, you're dealing with banks now. Then thereafter, if you do go into a restructuring or a rescheduling of your loans, which you don't have the luxury or the ability to pay off in one go, or you don't have an exit which you can charge or refinance, then you have three ways you can go with it, or even a mixture of these, right? Where you can ask to pay for the interest only for a fixed period. If you think that maybe by 12 months, you will be able to land on your feet again, that's one way. Another way is to take a more graduated approach where you ask the bank to reschedule your loan so that you still owe the same amount, except you pay it over a longer period. So the monthly installments will be a lot less. And the third way, of course, which is the most drastic, is where you ask them and say, I can't even pay the interest at all and forget about rescheduling because I don't know when I'm going to get a new job or raise my income. So you can ask them for a temporary stay on payments. Now, this does not mean you interest and pay all these late interest don't accrue, it might accrue. It also means that you will have very likely a mark or a indicator on your credit record, on your credit report, right? Which says that you have a loan that where you have asked for restructuring or rescheduling. So it means the cost of this is that in the future you might not be able to get easy credit, easy access to credit. So that is this is the what they call the trade-off, I guess. And in the worst case, if you really cannot come to terms with the bank, there is always going to be the option for bankruptcy, where you then get the DGI involved to negotiate for a way to pay it off. And never, never, ever go to loan sharks to get a loan to cover your debt, because it's not worth the hassle that will come later.
Jared, in closing, I just wanted to touch on this. You mentioned that, you know, between this loan moratorium as well as the stimulus packages that have been released for SMEs, you know, there's been a lot of relief for you. What else do you think could be done to assist SMEs in order to boost the recovery?
So I would like to reiterate that what the government has done has been wonderful. The coordinated response by the banking industry has been great so far. But there is going to be a limit to how much more that the banking industry can or should be made to absorb. That being said, I think from the government side, it is really, really important, or where the direct effect is going to be to prevent a complete meltdown in both shutdown of business and loss of jobs, is where the government continues to subsidize wages for employers on behalf of employers. So I think that is what that is kind of relief that is going to be most felt by the SMEs of Malaysia. And it just protects the SMEs and the jobs as well. So great, great support.
One last thing, Jared. We did have a message from Ling who said, and we only have a minute, I'm so sorry about that, but they do have a message saying that essentially it's bad advice to refinance your home when you have money problems, and they reference Susie Orman's advice. How would you respond?
Say someone has a personal loan debt or some credit card debt. For you to be able to, there are actually products out there which allows you to refinance to cover those debts. Right. One example, I think, is with this with Alliance Bank. So those debts are a lot cheaper in terms of interest rate than credit card debt and your personal loan debt. So if you have the option, take the option. It might sound counterintuitive, but financially, really, it's a lot smarter.
Jared, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Jared Lim, co-founder of Loan Street, talking about the loan extension, the extension rather, on the loan moratorium, particularly for SMEs. Again, if you have thoughts, you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.